Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's got a big brain that's filled with only useless information. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And we are getting ready for another rite of passage here in the Survivor season, as we're going to talk to my great friend Tyson Apostle here today. And I'm very excited about that. We'll get to everything with Tyson that he's thinking about this season. Of course, last night we had the Survivor Know-It-Alls, which was a lot of fun with Stephen Fishback, as we broke down everything, had a little bit of a debate about too early versus right time but bad circumstances debate with Gabby's move. And of course, I spoke with Gabby this morning on our exit interview, which I highly encourage you to check that out. And then don't forget, on Friday, I've got the feedback show coming up with the Purple Pants Badass Bryce Isaiah. So don't forget to get your feedback questions in for Bryce on Friday at robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Before we get to Tyson, I want to welcome in the first lady of podcasting to the studio. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nicole is here because we're going to talk about one of Nicole's favorite things going these days. And that is our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And that is the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket. And that we have gotten one of these here at the house. And Nicole has rarely been seen without the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket. Now, Nicole, when I first told you that we had a weighted blanket coming on as a sponsor, did you think it was hype?
I needed a little bit of convincing.
Nicole's a skeptic, needs a lot of convincing often. And so can you talk about what your experience has been like with the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket?
Well, all right. So we got the weighted blanket and I tried it on the first night.
Comfort.
And
that's how Jeff Probst would say it.
Well, that's not how I'm going to say it.
You'll get a calming comfort.
Calming
weighted.
Comfort.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
A comfort item.
Well, they should give that out on Survivor as like a as a reward.
I don't know how it would do in the elements.
It would calm some people down.
It would, yes. Well, I think that, yeah, maybe there were times that, you know, players that could have used a common comfort weighted blanket. But why a weighted blanket, Nicole? What's the purpose of a weighted blanket?
Because it's like a constant hug.
Yes.
Yeah, and who doesn't love a constant hug?
Yeah.
Actually, it was me. I wasn't sure I was going to like a constant hug.
Well, the idea of the weighted blanket is that it reduces anxiety because it is like you are getting the feeling of being hugged, which creates a less stress and a more restful night's sleep, made with super soft velveteen material and designed to promote a sense of calmness and relaxation, which I'm often trying to promote in the First Lady of Podcasting. Calmness, relaxation.
Have I been yelling
Not as much lately. When you're under the blanket, you get the experience of feeling like you're being hugged, cuddled, or swaddled, which is soothing for adults as it is for children. Nicole, I know that you have had some issues with falling asleep. How does the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket help you with that?
Well, that was part of my problem, was that I have so much going on in my life that when I go to sleep, I can't just fall asleep. I have a million things like going through my head. And I would wake up exhausted because I couldn't fall asleep. But now, as soon as I put the blanket on, like, I instantly go to sleep.
Okay. Well, the weighted blanket is great for gift giving. The idea is that you want 7 to 12% of your body weight. There's a number of different sizes, including, after December 10th, the 6-pound kid size. So go ahead and give it a try.
Oh, that's got to be good for kids with anxiety.
Yeah. So the Calming Comfort Weighted Blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code Rob at checkout to get 15% off the displayed price. Again, that's the calmingcomfortblanket.com. Promo code Rob. And because you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, go online now at calmingcomfort.com and use the promo code Rob for your special discount today. And of course, if you don't have a pen, you can always go to robhasawebsite.com/sponsors to see all of this information. Nicole, thank you so much.
I'm going to go cuddle with my blanket and watch Survivor and not be stressed out.
Okay, good luck. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring this man back to the Survivor edition of Rob Has a Podcast to catch up on everything that he's seeing here in Survivor, David versus Goliath. Let's bring in a man, a three-time survivor, a living survivor legend, and the winner of Survivor Blood versus Water, the great Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. And for the record, I also think you are a survivor legend.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Tyson, for saying that. And it'd be nice if I was a survivor winner.
That's nicer than being considered a survivor legend, for sure.
Yes, I think I'd rather be a winner if I could pick.
Yeah, if you could pick one or the other.
But if you can't, it pays better to be a winner.
It definitely does. But if you can't pick, then a legend is still a consolation.
Yeah,
because you can rub it in people's faces who are forgettable.
I would not do something like that. Have you ever done that to a survivor contestant?
No, I hope not. But you could.
Yeah, you definitely could. Tyson, how have you been? For anybody that is not listening to you every single week, along with Danny Bryson celebrating a birthday this weekend. Happy birthday to Danny. For anybody who's not listening to you on News AF every single week, what have you been up to, Tyson?
Well, I moved to Arizona a year ago, and the weather here is perfect, Rob. And living here is cheap. You know how it is. And I've been studying a lot of poker because I'm going to go play a big poker tournament in the Bahamas in January. Mm-hmm. And so I need to win this to pull myself out of the upper middle class slump that I've been in for most of my life.
Yeah. So you feel like you've hit a plateau in the upper middle class, and you feel like that you would like to be what's the next tier? Is it upper class? Is it the 1%?
Probably the 1%.
Yeah. You have your eye on it. You're not one of these people poo-pooing the 1%. You feel like if you can't...
Oh, no, I'm jealous of them for sure.
You're jealous.
But, yeah. But I'm probably in the top 5%.
Yeah. I would think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know exactly.
I don't know how any of it works either.
You'd have to ask a smarter person. And certainly the top 5% of survivors.
Yeah, I would hope so. I would think so.
So,
as far as legend status goes?
On a number of different levels. Tyson, this has been such a fun season of Survivor to be watching. Have you been enjoying it as much as the rest of us have?
I mean, I see a lot of love for it on Twitter. I don't know if I do enjoy the season. I enjoy every season, though. Mm-hmm. I don't mind any of the seasons, really.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just more even keel about it. Like, I don't know if I ever was so into it that I could pick apart each season like some of these fans do on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. I don't think I've ever heard you talk about like, wow, this is a great season. Boy, this season really stinks. That, you know, you are pretty even keel about it.
Yeah, I think every season has its goods and bads, and it's all the great social experiment that we get to see every season.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah, it's fine. It's a good season for sure. I have enjoyed watching the blind side, seeing the look on people's faces, watching their reactions as they exit the game.
You love that face. You love when people get a good blind side.
When they get got, yeah, because they know it's coming before Jeff says anything. Like, you see the second that Gabby gets a vote, she's like, shit, something didn't go as according to my plan, and that's bad for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about in terms of players? Do you ever watch a season and say, wow, I really like this person? I think I've heard you say you dislike a person, you know, not personally, obviously, but
yeah.
What you see on TV. But do you ever have like a rooting interest in a player?
Not very much, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mean, probably as it gets down to the finals, yes, mm-hmm. But no. I like to see people play. I don't.
Yeah.
No.
What?
I just like to watch the season. I don't try to think about it too much.
You're
I don't
so
try to think about the edit.
This now.
Am I?
Yeah. You're just such
Well, how did I used to be?
I don't know. But maybe is that from playing poker that you are just more analytical about how you approach looking at this?
Maybe. No, I don't think you've ever asked me these questions before. And now that I'm
trying to keep it fresh,
I've never thought of that either. Mm-hmm. Like I watch people. The thing is that it's like I've been there before. You've been there before. Mm-hmm. Most of the people I've played with on Survivor are good people outside of the game. And so watching them here, it's hard to say, I don't like this person. This is the person I want to win. I just don't know enough about any of these people on a personal level. Like if you put me in like a house with them for a couple weeks before the show aired, then I could definitely tell you who I'd want to win the game. I'd either hate all of them or like bond with like two of them really close. And that's, yeah, I wouldn't hate all of them. I'd probably be bugged by some of them, but I'd be friends with most.
Yes, absolutely. Tyson, this episode last night it was all about Gabby, and she wanted to make this big move and take Christian out of the game. He ends up being alerted about the big move, plays his idol, and then ultimately she's the one to go home. So I think the big question at first coming out of this episode, was this too soon for Gabby to make this move, or do you think it was the right move at the right time and she just got unlucky?
It was the right move at the right time, poorly executed.
Okay. What could she have done differently?
Well, first of all, when you play Survivor, you never truly know who's with you and who's against you. And for you to just spout off your plan to every single person sitting around the campfire is incorrect. Mm-hmm. What she needed to do is ask other people who they wanted to get out. And when somebody said Christian, rally behind that person and help that person then share that idea with the rest of the group. Mm-hmm. Then if it goes south, Christian is not alerted to her being the one that's the traitor, but the other person.
Okay.
So I think instead of saying, oh, hey, guys, guess what we're doing? I want to get Christian out. And also her sales pitch of I haven't done anything this game and it would look great for my game is also a poor sales pitch to other people who are also wanting moves on their resume. So I think her going to, because there were other people who wanted Christian out. Hey, who are you thinking? Who are you thinking are the biggest threats? What should we do? Oh, Christian. Oh, that's not a bad idea. The more I think about that, that's a pretty good idea. Do you think anybody else would be on board? Maybe you talk to him and tell him that I'm with you. Okay. Then you get to Davey and he's not like, oh, that was all Gabby.
All right. I like what you're saying here about this, because in terms of how it was presented, yeah, it did turn into the type of thing where they were able to, you know, steal Gabby's thunder and then have this vote go against her by alerting Christian to play his idol. So if Gabby, who seemed very concerned about, hey, I need to have moves that I can point to at the end of the game to be able to demonstrate to the jury that I should win the game. Was she too wrapped up in that, in the motive?
Yes. The problem is you got to get to day 39 to even stand in front of the jury to even present any type of case. Mm-hmm. And the second you start spouting off instructions of what you want to happen and you want to go down, that's your demise. I can guarantee that anybody who has said this is what needs to happen eventually gets their comeuppance.
How important is it for a Survivor player to, as the game is going along, being able to demonstrate of this was my move, I executed this move? Is it important to sort of like as you're going through it, make sure that, you know, you're being credited for the moves you're making, and then at the end people know what you've done? Or can you wait until the end and then explain, hey, remember the Christian blindside? That was my move. Remember the Carl blindside? That was my move too.
I think it's a delicate balance, and it probably depends on your personality and your style of play. So that's probably a case by case, because I never took credit for any of the things I did on Blood versus Water, really. Mm-hmm. But everybody was giving me the credit because I was the one probably leading and manipulating the votes the most. And so they probably just credited it to me, but there were definitely moves Monica and Jervis made that were more their idea or even their entire idea that got credited to me because of the spot I was in. So I think in those circumstances, it's risky because if you are the one that's masterminding the ideas and getting credit for the ideas, then you're also perceived as the leader,
mm-hmm.
which is the dangerous spot to be in.
Yeah. To me, I agree that with everything you're saying about the move being executed not in the ideal way, with trying to, you know, get everybody else to share one common motive for what they're trying to do, or at least make it appear to be a move that is going to help the other players just as much, if not more so, than it was going to help Gabby. But I just can't help but think that this was maybe a round or two too early, where that I don't see who Gabby's group is going to be that she's able to move forward with after this. Because even in the best case scenario, it works and people are starting to look at Gabby as a threat. And I feel like that there's going to be either the four people that went on that reward together or some other combination that's going to come together and now take out Gabby next.
Yeah, that's this when is the right time is a case by case basis as well. And what you have to look at if you're Gabby is who can I get to vote for Christian, mm-hmm. and who will Christian have to vote against me if that comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to move at the point where you realize you're going to lose the majority at a certain point. And so for her, if this was the moment where she said, okay, the next person that gets voted out is probably going to be the doctor. What's her name?
Allison.
And if it's Allison and she's one of the people who would vote against Christian with me, now how many people do I have? And so I think without being there, we won't fully understand or know if it was the right timing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it like when I voted out Aris, a lot of people thought that was too early. But in my mind, the math I had done, that was the time I had to do it because I was going to lose the majority if we ended up voting Laura Moret out. Then that I don't have the majority anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very interesting question of how do you know when it's the right round to make this, you know, all in move? Steven last night was comparing Gabby to the spot that Jervis was in, you know, playing with you. I know that this was something that Laurel ended up feeling last season of, okay, I know I need to make a move, but if I make the move now, then it's going to come back around and I'm going to lose the numbers and I won't be able to, you know, move any further.
Right. And so the game is in this moment, the leader or the perceived leader is trying to keep the people he's aligned with in line and in place till they paint themselves in a corner and can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are helping him, Jervis and Monica, in my situation, are looking for the moment where they can get rid of me without being the targets next.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a tough spot to be in for a Gabby or somebody who's not getting credit for any of these moves. And I mean, it could have played out a lot better. I think she needed to be more democratic about the vote in pinning the idea on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it also puts you in a situation where if you have to go back and be with Christian, even in that same day before tribal council, you can be the one that says, hey, Nick had the idea of voting you out. I told him yes, because that's what you say. But obviously it's a no from me. We're together. You leave your options open. If you're closing the way Gabby went about it, she's closing the door on Christian before he's out of the game.
Yeah. For me, I feel like that the way that this debate has been framed sort of in the 24 hours or so since the episode has aired is that it's such a binary choice. It's like there were two paths, either Gabby votes out Christian this round or Gabby goes to the final three, gets no votes and loses to Christian. And I just feel like that there has to have been some other possibilities of the way that this could have gone down. Like, for instance, go ahead.
It's a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
Survivor is a choose your own adventure book. There's how many people are still left in the game? That's how many ways it could have gone for Gabby and still could have, you know, up until the moment she got voted out. There's different paths to get there. There's different paths to winning all the way until you get there. That's the beauty and also the difficulty of the game of Survivor.
What do you think of, instead of a blind side of Christian, could she have started to make Christian feel paranoid enough that he plays and wastes his idol?
Yes, that's the safe play. Because what was her plan B? Allison, a person who she was tightly aligned with. So now she's got her number one in her sights and her number two as her backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
What's she going to do when she comes back to camp? What she should have done is got her. If she was, there's two things she could have done. She could have pinned the idea of getting Christian out on somebody else. That way, Gabby would not have been the number two choice for these people. It would have been somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or the other thing she could have done is she could have whispered the Christian thing around like she did. He would have then been paranoid and she would have assumed he would have known, because in a tribe with how many people left? Are left? Seven, eight?
It's seven now. Eight last night.
You whisper, we're voting Christian out to eight people. It's getting back to Christian.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you take your core of four or five and vote on whoever Christian's next closest person would be.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're damaging Christian in the fact that he doesn't have someone to help him. And then on top of that, he's played his idol. If you had known what Davey's motives were, which maybe somebody did, and maybe somebody realized that he was sticking with Christian, Davey would have been the obvious choice as the plan, the real legitimate plan. But that's so many layers, and it's so easy to say in hindsight. The biggest mistake she made was advertising to everybody that she was the one that wanted Christian out and she was rallying the troops against Christian.
Mm-hmm.
When she should have manipulated someone else into doing that for her.
Tyson, I want to ask you about this vote, which ended up taking Gabby out from the game last night. So there were two votes that ended up going against Gabby. They were from Mike White and from Angelina. Nick and Davey were voting for Christian. And so last night on the Know-It-Alls, and when Stephen and I were talking about this, that I felt like that this was a rogue move by Mike White and by Angelina. But now I'm not so sure about that. First off, do you feel like that it was clearly shown in the episode which way, how that was going to come together?
No, not necessarily. Who all had the idea to vote Gabby as the plan B? Was that Mike and Nick and Angelina and everybody?
So I have a clip from the episode. So it came up just once in the episode. And so we see Gabby go and talk to Davey and Nick in the shelter. And then she walks away. And then we see Nick and Davey in the shelter with Angelina and Mike. And they're talking about what the move is going to be at that round. And so I want to play this clip and then talk about exactly what they came up with here. And I think it's pretty interesting. Okay, here is that clip from In the Shelter.
She just came to us and said, this is alongside Christian.
And if it's Christian, that's a little more complicated. And we have to think if he does have an idol.
I've seen his idol.
I like Nick saying, I've seen his idol. His idol's not that great. Okay. Listen, yeah. I've seen that idol. It's fine.
Yeah. It's an okay idol. It looks kind of garbagey, but that's how they do it now.
Oh, really? Well, he plays his idol. Uh-huh. You can vote for Gabby.
Okay. So the you could vote for Gabby is the line that's there from Nick. And it's hard to hear it because Nick and Mike are kind of both talking at the same time. But I believe, going back, and I've watched this a couple of times, that Nick says, you could vote for Gabby. And Angelina makes shock face. And Nick starts hysterically laughing about this.
Yeah.
And so I am feeling now more today that Nick and Davey intentionally were voting for Christian, and that Angelina and Mike, the plan was all along that these four were going to split their votes two and two, and that either way, no matter what happened, they were going to get somebody that they wanted out of the game.
Yes, I think that's accurate. You have to get everybody out. As I was going to say, you could leave Gabby in the game if Christian's going to stay in the game too. Mm-hmm. And get someone else out, because you know that the war between Christian and Gabby will rage on. Mm-hmm. But you've only got, what, 3-4 votes left until the finals? You might not have enough time at that point to let the war continue. You may have to just start taking control of the game. There's 7 now, so you should, at this point, if you have a tight foursome, be set to sail.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It's a lot to really break down, but mm-hmm. I still maintain it was the right timing for Gabby. Poor execution.
Yeah. And so now this is also, I think, something that's interesting from this episode, because I was watching the secret scenes from this episode. And
oh, man, I usually do that for the podcast, but I didn't do it this time.
That's okay. That's okay. And so here is something else that I uncovered in watching the secret scenes for this episode. So I'm trying to find out, who knew what, who's talking about what their plan is ultimately going to be. And so I'm watching Kara's secret scene now, Kara had won the immunity challenge in this episode. And so
yes.
She ends up doing one of her secret scenes. And here is what she is saying about this vote. Now, I presumed, okay, she's with Gabby and Allison on this vote, and those three are sort of in lockstep heading into voting out Christian.
It is a great night to have this necklace on around here, because everyone is all over the place, and I couldn't be happier that my name isn't allowed to be in any of these plans, because we have made so many different plans. I can't keep up with what the decoy plan is for who and for what. I had to give up. So my plan is I'm writing down Christian's name along with Gabby, Allison, Davey, and Nick.
Okay, now that's what we saw from the episode. That's what I thought. But then she goes on to say,
Mike and Angelina are writing down Gabby's name, and as far as I know, Christian is writing down Alice's name.
Wait, so she knew where all the votes were headed going into this, and she doesn't say anything to Gabby. I mean, I guess potentially she doesn't make it sound like that she is very much against this in terms of this happening, but she knew that Gabby was getting 2 votes at that tribal council.
Yeah, it sounds like it was pretty straightforward for everybody except for Gabby, and maybe that's all.
Right.
Maybe only Gabby. And Christian, because Christian would have put his vote on Gabby had he known how those votes were going to go.
Right. So Christian is also in the dark in terms of knowing that he thinks that the other women are voting for Allison. That's what he, which is kind of like, I don't know why he's thinking that either. I guess Gabby is telling him, no, Allison's a threat. We're going to vote her out, even though she's another one of my good friends. So either way, some people had to believe that she's voting out one of her friends at the tribal council. But somebody is giving Kara this information, and I don't know who it is. I'm guessing that it's Mike, but I feel like that this is even more damning for Gabby in terms of wanting to make this move now, because there are at least 5 people conspiring against her.
Yeah, I think that this entire group has realized that Christian is a threat, and Christian and Gabby together are a threat. And they were probably going to make a move against one of these two players on this same episode anyways. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that Gabby decided she wanted to also make the move against Christian. And they're probably licking their chops thinking, this is such a perfect alignment of fate or something. Like, they don't even have to... It's just like the work is done for you on this vote. And this was probably a move that they needed to make anyways.
So when we go back a week to when Carl got voted out, I mean, should we look back at that as that Gabby and Christian should have stuck with the Davids at least for that vote and had Carl around, and then it would be going into this round, there'd be five Davids and three Goliaths, and potentially look at this point where they could flip then at eight instead of at nine?
100%. I don't know why they got rid of Carl. I mean, you can get rid of the annoying people early on, but you know, the second Carl decided that he was the godfather, that's the point where you're like, okay, we got to keep him as long as we can. Mm-hmm. He's taking bullets for us. People are disliking him. And I think you keep him in the game. I think that was definitely incorrect. Especially in that moment where I have always thought when there is a swap, et cetera, you are locked in with those people in those moments. And going forward, they are your plan A until you've decided that you need to make a move somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these seasons, you're seeing these Goliath strong, David strong lines that are... they're foggy, but they're still there.
Yes.
And so I think if you can tell that those are still existing, you need to keep as many majorities to yourself as options.
Yeah. And just to talk that through, what that would have looked like, that Allison would have been voted out. So the tricky mm-hmm. thing to do, and I don't know if it even would have been possible, what would have been if Gabby and Christian potentially flipped on this vote, and then they would have to vote with Kara and Mike, which I think would be fine. But Angelina, they would need to flip. And I'm not sure if Angelina is flipping away from Carl. So I'm not sure if it was doable to make that move at this vote. I mean, they may have needed Allison's vote.
I think still keep Carl. I don't think flip on him this vote either.
Okay. So then I think another Goliath then at the next round. So they're taking out either Mike White or Kara.
Yes.
Okay. But then when do you make your move?
As who?
As if you're Gabby and you're Christian.
If you're Gabby and you're Christian, and the way that the finals go now with making fire, I mean, if you don't feel confident winning a challenge with, I think you go to... you go to the end with Carl, mm-hmm. if you're Gabby.
Yeah.
And I think in this circumstance, if Gabby wins the last challenge, she's going to take Carl. Mm-hmm. If Carl wins, he's going to take Gabby over Christian.
Yeah.
And then Christian is, can he make fire? Has he written algorithms for that?
Is there an algorithm for that? But, you know, the concern for Gabby was that if I get to the end, then people will say I didn't do anything, where people like the way that Monica got raked over the coals when you guys had your final tribal council, that seemed to be the worst possible outcome for Gabby. She would rather lose at eight or at nine than go to the end and be the person who is sort of like, what did you even do, Gabby?
Oh, dude, I'd come in second place every single season rather than eighth place.
Why? Because of the money?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, but this is what Survivor wants from their contestants, though. They want people.
Yeah, no, they do. Yeah. You should be playing for the win. But at the same time, who is she winning against?
Well, nobody yet. But that's why she felt like she had all this pressure on her to make these moves.
Yeah, and that's why the nature of the game is so unpredictable, is because all of a sudden you get these people with these ideas that they haven't made any moves. And I personally think that at this point in the game, if you have not made your moves, it's too late. Mm-hmm. And the only move that she's going to make that's going to win her the game is knocking out the numero uno right before the finals, whoever that may be. For example, I think if I would have gone to the end with Sierra or Hayden, I still would have won the game because I had done the bulk of the work and even had even more opposition against me in losing some people to get to the end. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I wouldn't have been absent, okay, one of them's going to win because they knocked me out.
Yeah.
And so I think, I think that's the position that Gabby is in or was in, where it's too late in the game for her to shift the tides to become the person in charge. A lot of it, too, is personality. Gabby's soft-spoken. She has taken some orders from people, and that's the perception of people of her in the game, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just... It's a hard... I don't think Christian came out thinking, oh, I need to be in charge and I need to be the one masterminding everything. He fell into that role, and Gabby, who was his sidekick, fell into that role, mm-hmm. and that's how it ended up playing out. So I don't know. I know my personality and how I play the game, and that is a... It's naturally a winning, if you get to the end, it's naturally a winning combination, I think.
Yeah.
So with these other people who are different on the personality spectrum, they have to go about it a different way that I'm not even familiar with.
So I don't think I would do the second guess on Gabby voting out Carl, because I don't know if there was a winning path for her to, you know, get around some of the guys that are playing these advantages and being seen as the people who have made that move, the moves that got the Davids to that point. So I like that move.
Well, I think there is a path for her with Carl still. I think if she would have gotten to the end with Carl, and they would have forced Christian to make fire to be a finalist, and he lost, mm-hmm. and whoever else came in as the finalist, then yes, I think that is a path for her to win the game.
But it's a narrow path. I think
it's a very, very, very narrow path. Yes.
So I feel like, though, for Christian, and I really didn't like this move for him last week. And, you know, I think that it's really borne out, even though he did have to play his idol where, he's getting 5 votes at the tribal council and is saved only by the grace of the idol. When he is in this position of, hey, everybody, if Christian gets to the end, he'll win. Don't you think that that is an even better reason why he should have stood pat with the Davids and tried to ride this thing out to the end?
Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Well,
why is he still trying to pad his resume by flip-flopping and making the moves when everybody already perceives him as making the moves?
Right. Did he increase his chances of getting to the end in any way? And while that he was with those Davids, with that group of 5, and say, okay, well, him and Gabby are sort of like on the outside looking in at 5, you know, there still are chances to turn things around at 7 and being able to, you know, get the remaining Goliaths on their side later on. It just seemed like a very unnecessary gamble for Christian.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's played a flawless game by any stretch of the word, but he has gotten lucky in the moments that he's needed to be lucky in. And he's gotten the correct information and read it correctly in some spots as well. But I mean, you look at, the thing too is when you're perceived as the threat.
Yeah.
That also adds a ton to your resume. I know that when I touched the beach on Blood versus Water, people already wanted me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was the target number one. And it's just because I have a pointy face and am dry.
Why?
And I think so.
Wow.
No, I have a pointy villainous face. And I also have a perception of who I am on TV and in the game of Survivor. And people didn't like that or want to play with that. And then you get out there and people are like, oh, he's not as terrible as I thought he was on the show. He's not a bad dude. He's just, you know, can be dry and sarcastic.
Yeah.
Tina actually came to me with tears in her eyes and apologized for the perception she had of me without meeting me. And stuff like that goes a long way in the end game. When you can get out there and make it to the end and be like, hey, I was target number one from the get-go, and I was a target a lot of the times, and I got a lot of votes. Christian's main selling point, if he gets to the end, is look how many votes I got throughout the entire course of this game, and I still managed to get to the end here.
But I do want to talk about these loved ones, because Tyson, interestingly enough, You have not participated in a loved one's visit in three seasons on Survivor.
I know. That's my one, not a black mark on my career as a Survivor, but it's the one absent thing from my career that I would like to have shared that moment with somebody in my family.
Well, let me ask you, because I don't think I've ever gotten this information from you before. Who was going to be your loved ones in Token Chains and in Heroes vs. Villains?
In Token Chains, my brother, and he actually flew out for it, but I got voted out a few days before.
Oh, and they sent him home.
No, they kept him on the trip, but they didn't let me see him.
Does it make you mad that now they, on these Ponderosa videos, they will...
Fucking fuming.
You're mad.
Well, I'm not mad, but that was a conversation I had many, many times in Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's here. He's talking to all the other loved ones. He knows what's going on. He's traveling home with the loved ones. Why can't you bring my loved one to me in Ponderosa to see?
Yeah.
He missed Thanksgiving with his family and his daughters to come out to Brazil, only to be trucked around and kept in hotel rooms and then not get to see me.
Mm-hmm.
When he knows that he's not seeing me because I'm voted out. There's no secrets they're keeping from him that he's not going to learn anyways, traveling home with all these other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And it's been that way for the longest time. And they only changed this idea in the last couple of years. And I applaud the decision to change it, because it is, you know, a very... makes everybody have, you know, ill will towards the show. You know,
it really irked me in the moment.
Right. The only thing I could say, and I don't know the exact reasoning. So in my season in the Amazon, so the person I voted out at 7, Alex, now goes to the jury. And then if he then realizes, you know, he sees his mom who was there and then was not able to see him, I don't know if that's the kind of thing where they felt like, oh, okay, well, he's going to find out what I could have had my loved ones visit on the show. I was this close to having my loved ones visit happen. So that's it. Now I'm extra mad about that. I don't think he could have been extra mad. He was already really mad.
But I already knew the loved ones visit was happening. They took everybody out of Ponderosa except for me. No, that's not how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do? We knew that the loved one's visit happened. They told us. They told us the loved one's visit happened.
Well,
they
came to us. Standard protocol.
They came to us. No, they came to us and said, hey, just so you know, Tyson, your brother flew out for loved one's visit. And I think Sierra was the other one who just missed the cut. There were two of us whose loved ones were out there that we didn't get to see. And they were like, just so you know, you're not going to get to see them. And I was irritated. But I mean, you're going to learn that that's there, the very next person that gets voted out. And it's like, hey, we got to see our loved ones.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have known that your loved one was present. That's correct.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things.
But you would have learned, because they would have, a loved one would have told someone that there were other loved ones there that weren't present. Like, they are going to keep it secret that my brother and Sierra's sister were there. I think that's something that's going to get whispered
in the show
to one of the contestants, who's then going to get voted out and tell us anyways.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Maybe there's a good reason for why it used to be that way, but I definitely agree with how they do it now once they bring these loved ones, you know, halfway across the world or more than halfway across the world to come out there.
Because the thing is for me, it really, on my own level, it wouldn't have mattered much to see my brother. The problem was that he traveled all that way to see me and didn't get to see me.
Right. Did it make you extra mad at the people that voted you out, that then you would have gotten to see your brother had they not voted you out?
No. No. I mean, it bugged me that I didn't make it a few more days to get to see him, but I didn't blame them for that set of circumstances.
Okay. And then Heroes versus Villains, it would have been Rachel?
It would have been Rachel, but it was, I mean, I was only on day 15.
Right.
So we're still a ways away from that.
Yeah. And then,
but it does. It does. Like, I think the making the family visit is one of the steps in one of the things you look forward to as Survivor. Like, you get out there, and the first step is get to the merge.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get to the merge,
get to the swap.
Well, get to the swap if there is a swap. Get to the merge if there's no swap. So you're making the merge or the swap, and then after that, you're getting to the family visit.
Mm-hmm.
So the family visit is like the step between the merge and the end game.
Final three. Yeah, four, final
but
four.
But at the family visit challenge, you have to lose that.
What do you mean? You have to lose the
challenge.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't win that.
All right. Talk to me. Why can't you win that?
I've said that so many times before, especially if it's an individual contest where you're the one that's going to get to choose who gets to see their family and who doesn't. That's too much responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think every individual reward challenge, do not win that.
Do not win that. Why?
No.
You have to reveal your cards?
Yeah. You have to draw lines in the sand.
Yeah. Now, I understand the reasoning why, but does that bear out in terms of winning that challenge and then people don't want to vote? What's the concern, that they won't vote for you in the end, or they'll vote you out in that round?
They won't necessarily vote you out in that round, but you're drawing your lines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I choose this guy and this guy. Okay, he's aligned with those guys. Maybe I'm not as aligned with him as I thought I was. You can't please everyone. And in the game of Survivor, you're trying to please as many people as possible. And so if you can avoid a situation like that, where you are going to upset some people, you want to avoid it.
So last night we ended up seeing the loved ones come out, and there was sort of like a little bit of a shift of, hey, oh, I remember I have family now. These are the people that I'm playing for. You know, it's that the Christian's not rooting for me to win. My family is rooting for me to win. And so I have to do what's best for them. Now, you played in a season that had loved ones there the whole time. Do you feel like that there was a shift in the Blood versus Water season versus the other seasons you played in, because the loved ones were around the whole time for people, where people didn't lose sight of that like they might in a regular season of Survivor up until the loved ones visit?
No, I don't think. I think that goes to the back of your mind when you're playing the game. I think the one thing is, you definitely have, for the most part, you definitely have a ride or die that is going to be 100% honest with you in the game. Not always the case, but for the most part, the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it changes that aspect a little bit, but I don't think it makes you focus harder or, you know, or more direct or indirect. The game still takes its toll on everybody. You just have one person you can really, really rely on.
Because if anything, it seemed like that you had sort of like the inverse of this, where when Rachel got voted out, that it was for you that you felt like, now I'm doing this for Rachel, that there has to have been meaning for Rachel to go out early, that I have to make sure that I'm doing it and not forget about that, as opposed to your loved one shows up on day 32. And then you feel like, oh, okay, I realize I have to do it for my loved one. I'm reminded of them here at the end of the game.
Yes, but I mean, that for me, it was because I felt guilty that I knew they had voted her out because of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'd already played Survivor to day 15 and day 27. Like, the only thing for me to do was to win. Otherwise, I should have just swapped with Rachel and let her write her own story out on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. And you knew it would just be good TV for you to say that also, right?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Nonstop. I couldn't shut up about it because I knew how great of TV it would be.
It would be an exciting moment.
So, yeah. I mean, there was that. But honestly, it was just me feeling guilty. Especially, I felt really bad because I hurt my shoulder the next day after Rachel had been voted out.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I felt really, really bad in that moment, because mm-hmm. I was like, if I would have switched with Rachel, my shoulder wouldn't hurt like crazy like it does. I would still most probably be on Redemption Island with a chance back in the game.
Yeah.
And Rachel would also still be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but I think it would have been a difficult transition for Rachel. She would have come into the game with everybody whispering at her that they were aligned with me.
Do you think that if Rachel played without you, and now, okay, well, Rachel, they're going after Rachel because you're a threat, but you're still on Redemption Island. Do you think that that would have changed anything for her? Or do you think that maybe you would have had to have been eliminated from Redemption Island and then potentially she would have been able to do something without you?
I think on the original Galong tribe, she would have been okay. I think that my alliance would have hopefully protected her until I was maybe out of the game. But the other thing too is if you're switching, the most hilarious thing to do would be to vote her out next. So now I'm pitted against her at Redemption Island from a purely comedic, dark comedy standpoint.
Yeah.
Me switching with Rachel to save her only to have her sent straight back to Redemption Island to then compete against me would have been the darkest comedic move they could have made.
Was that what happened to the Codys?
No, because that took a while to happen. But
yeah.
For example, when Cochran voted Francesca out for the first time again, and he said, I have to do this purely from a historic value and content, that's the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So
I feel like
he did that just to be funny.
No, but I think he saw the merit in having someone be voted out first twice, and saw the comedic standpoint as well as, I mean, he was just going with the group. It was,
that's how he got his comedy career started. That was one of the first things he wrote.
No, but you better believe that if I am on a Blood versus Water season and somebody switches with their loved one who ends up then on my tribe and they're not tightly aligned with me, I'm sending that loved one straight to Redemption Island, because then they'll be like, wow, the move where we switched was the worst thing we could have done for each other.
Yeah. Are you touched especially by the survivor loved ones?
Well, I don't fully understand it because I haven't been in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I get it. And I think my first season on Token Chains, I probably would have just like, I would have hugged my brother, but he would have been uncomfortable. And I would have only been hugging him because he was uncomfortable giving me such a big, dirty hug. And then I would have laughed about it and fist bumped him. I don't think you would have seen any tears from me on Token Chains. And so that wouldn't have been endearing to anyone.
Yeah.
They would have just been like, oh, Tyson is as cold hearted as we perceived him to be.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would have helped me or my game necessarily. But now after playing this many times, getting to that point probably would be emotional for me just because it's one of the few things missing from my experience as a survivor contestant.
Tyson, can we do a little sloth terrarium right now? How could we improve the loved ones visit? Because I heard, you know, a lot of people saying like, you know, it's nice to see the loved ones visit, but, you know, it's not that exciting. And I don't know if that has more to do with that. You know, there was like none of the loved ones were, you know.
You ready for this?
Ready.
Put them into the tribe for one vote, one tribal council that night.
Okay. So now 16 people are voting at tribal council.
Yeah, or only the ones that win the family challenge get to take their loved ones to tribal council with them to vote.
Okay.
Or have them all sit with the jury to watch tribal council. You got three options there.
Okay.
My personal favorite is they got all these advantages. How about the person who wins the family reward gets to bring their loved one to tribal council with them to vote? Or two people or something like that.
Okay. Maybe
I'm a genius.
Okay. Well, let's hold on. Let's establish that first. You're a genius.
That I'm a genius.
Well, you're a genius no matter what we decide here. But
okay.
Why, you know, how would that be different from every player just having two votes? Like, is there a scenario like instead of being...
So you're getting the you're only getting the person who won the family challenge getting a vote. Then people like me aren't going to throw the challenge knowing how dangerous it is because you're going to have that advantage. You're going to need that advantage, maybe. So you, now you have a real fight at the challenge for it. And then you get some new blood. I think you what you do is you have the loved one who wins the the contestant who wins the challenge, their loved one spends the entire day with the tribe and goes to tribal council to vote that night, but is not eligible to be voted for because they're just going to be shipped home. And the other loved ones get to sit with the jury.
Okay. But what is that changing? So, okay, so hypothetically, Nick and Angelina won the reward, the loved ones reward. Okay, and let's say, okay, Angelina's mom is now with the tribe for the rest of the day. She's at tribal council.
Yes.
I mean, so is this like another, are they putting an extra vote on Gabby? Are they putting an extra vote on, and why do we need her physically, like Angelina's mom, why do we need her to go physically vote? What is that giving us?
It's just giving us another dream scenario for people to be like, oh, I could have my, if I'm on Survivor, I could have my mom there to even experience a little bit more of the, what I'm doing.
But that's cool for the Survivor, but not for the viewer. I mean, I think you're, I guess.
Well, I saw a lot of comments about how they were hoping Angelina's mom was on Survivor.
Yeah.
So I beg to disagree with you, Rob, in that you're going to get some new blood on the show.
Yeah.
And maybe then your loved ones are going to be vetted a little harder as far as being someone who's exciting to see on TV rather than just, you know, I don't know. I think it will add something. It's a new twist. It would be a new twist. And you know those twists, how they love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guaranteed, if Tyler Perry called Jeff Probst right now, or if Mike White, one of Jeff Probst's very close friends, called him right now and said, for the next loved one's visit on the next season, why don't you have the winner of the loved one's challenge, loved one, join the tribe for the day, join all the strategic talks. The other thing you're going to get is you're going to introduce these people to strategy when they haven't been privy to it for the last 30 days. So now you can have like a real nincompoop who doesn't know what's been going on or anything, then giving their input. I think there's some gold in there for sure. I mean, not every season.
Sean Hance ends up like pulling Coach aside. Like, hey, Coach, let me tell you, like, you better not screw my son over.
So now imagine Sean Hance is there the entire day and at tribal council also giving his input.
Yeah, because I think it would probably be, you'd have like these loved ones at the tribal council. I'm starting to get a little more into this because now you have these loved ones. And now all of a sudden Jeff is like badgering them like, all right, Angelina's mom.
Yes.
How's your vote going to be based tonight? Like, and it's like, did she give up too much information?
Yes.
Like,
I think Rob, why haven't you been on this from the get go? I'm telling you.
Well, you didn't explain this part where they're under bad, extreme questioning from Jeff. Could they potentially give up too much information?
Well, the other thing you could do is maybe have, I don't know, then you're getting even more complicated, but maybe they don't get that much time with the tribe or any time with the tribe, but they still have to vote.
Mm-hmm. How great would it be then if a player gets voted out on the night that their loved one is there?
Yeah, that would be really great.
That would be very
watching
exciting
on the jury. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're already going to be privy to that information because of the non-disclosure and being there and everything. So they're not giving up anything security wise other than nothing at all. I think the other thing you could do is have all the family members vote with no perception of anything going on. Just bring them in and be like, hey, each of you are voting. There's all the people that you can vote for. Mm-hmm. But I think we're on to something with just the one or two people joining the tribe for a singular vote.
And then I think the dream scenario is that you get like the Moretz out there and like a loved one, votes against a family member.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. or you're also now you're t- talking to someone, you have someone's ear who is so closely aligned to maybe someone who's against you that you could put something else in their ear. And now they're fighting for you with their loved one, kind of being like, hey, so-and-so wants your loved one out tonight, but I'm trying to make sure that doesn't happen. But your loved one doesn't fully trust me. So, you know, there's a different level of manipulation going. You're introducing a new person to the game who's trying to catch up on 30 days of stuff in one day.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, they're going to vote with their loved one, but even that is an advantage that is can be utilized.
Okay. All right. I think we're, I don't know if we have it exactly yet.
We do. This is it. We have it exactly. Yeah.
Did you see a loved one's pair that you feel like that you would like to see play in the Blood versus Water season? Forget what other people are saying.
Christian and his girlfriend would be great, I think. You know, you don't get to see enough of them to really.
She seemed very shy. I don't know if she's necessarily did she even talk? I feel like it was just a.
She's either going to open up or she's going to be uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah. So I don't. Yeah, he's like so, you know, loquacious and like he doesn't. It doesn't stop talking as we saw. But I don't know if she even said anything.
Well, he said that she's one of the funniest people he knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he would steal all the camera time.
Well, they'd be on different tribes at first.
I guess so.
And one of you has to steal the camera time anyways, Rob. It may as well be one of you and not some other family.
Yeah, I guess.
Angelina and her mom would probably be good. I think anybody who, where both of them are strong-willed and hard-headed, where they both think they're right, and you can see them clashing mm-hmm. and being like, this is the no, we need to go, this, I don't know, I think something like that. And I didn't see enough of the loved ones to really get a full, would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Kat and Hayden, yeah. That's who we got to have back.
Yeah, why haven't they had Kat and Hayden back together as a pair?
I think they maybe will on Survivor Rivals season 40. Remember when we got phone calls for that?
Yeah, who can forget?
Yeah.
Do you have just one rival?
I mean, probably Sierra from Token Chains, just because it was more aggressive than probably the other rivalries.
Yeah. Really, she's still your rival? I feel like that you're...
Who else would it be? Who else would it be? I don't really think I have a rival.
There's not a lot of sizzle there.
There isn't. That's why I won't be playing on a rival season.
Yeah. I mean, shouldn't you find a rival with some more star power, Tyson?
What, you want me to just start rivaling Boston Rob on Twitter in the hopes that him and I will be cast for a rival season in 40?
I'm sure you can find somebody and get like a Twitter feud going.
Rupert Bot. He responds every time I write to him.
I know. The real Rupert can't respond because he's locked out of his Twitter.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Finally.
Has a loved one ever smuggled anything on their season in for a contestant, like when PG's dad gave her a Kit Kat, according to Courtney Yates? That's a question.
That was the first. That was the first I'd heard of that.
Yeah,
I think some clothing has been left.
Yeah, but they frisk you for like okay, here's a a 10 clip.
They frisk you as a contestant, but I don't know if they frisk the loved ones.
Interesting.
But the Eddie George left his T-shirt for Taj, and I think clothing will get left in regards. But I don't know about food like that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So not too shabby. How about Davey last night? He heard about this plan for the votes going to Christian. He didn't mm-hmm. like it. He felt like, hey, mm-hmm. if I get rid of Christian, then people are going to come for me next. Did you like this from the Davey perspective of keeping Christian in the game? Because you have Christian who's, you know, has this reputation. Gabby looks at Christian and says, I can't win if he's here. Davey looks at Christian and says, hey, I'll lose next if Christian's not here.
I can't tell if I like it or not. I can't tell if Davey is that high on people's radars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is. And if Gabby makes this move happen, Davey's not stepping up on the radar anymore. It's Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily know. In those moments where you're making a decision like this, I really think that you really have to be there for yourself to know why everybody's making these decisions. Because you only get such a small amount of what's actually happening on TV. Maybe Davey and Christian have a lot more history than we're seeing, and there's some of that as well. Maybe they already have a deal that we haven't. I mean, there's just so much that we don't see or know. I don't dislike it. We'll see how it plays out, but I don't think that from what I'm seeing of him on TV, he doesn't need a shield, especially when Gabby is the one spearheading this next move.
Now, Tyson, you famously were one of the Coconut Bandits in season 27 of Survivor. So you did whatever you could to get more food. Last week, we saw the survivors have to ask Jeff to give them more rice. Do you think should production give the survivors more food if they ask for it?
I think it's a case by case, mm-hmm. for sure. I think that obviously Survivor wants to make a good show. They need everybody to have enough energy to make TV. And so it just probably just depends. Like if people are getting real low energy and they have nothing, then yeah, you need to get them enough food that they're not just eating their brains. Their yeah. bodies aren't absorbing their brains as nutrient, but I think it's a fine line that Survivor has probably mastered over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like the right amount to give people to make sure that they stay alive and active enough, but also lose their minds a little bit.
Okay. So a lot was made in terms of eat versus compete. I think we all know where you stand on this issue of that, that Davey and Carl, and I'm not sure who the third person was. I think it was Angelina that were sitting out of the first immunity challenge from last week.
Yeah.
Eat versus compete. But to tie these two things together, in the second hour, when Angelina is negotiating with Jeff for more rice, that he says, hey, all right, well, I'll give you guys more food, but the price is somebody's got to sit out of this immunity challenge. No chance at immunity. You must have felt like this was a masterstroke for Angelina.
Well, I don't know. It could have been, but it also could have been perceived as just that. Like Monica giving up her reward for everybody else to eat was great for the people who wanted to eat. But also you were like, that's just some jury play right there. I'm not rewarding that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then her bragging about it to her mom. Nobody likes a braggart.
Right.
You know, and everybody there listening to it while she's like, I am such a good person, Mom. You taught me how to be such a good person. Let me tell you what's in my character. I did this for the tribe. Can you believe how good of a person I am? That was interesting. I would have kept that to myself.
Right.
And obviously, we know what a great person I am. But does everybody else there in the moment need to know?
Right. And this is an issue that she's also struggled with earlier in the season with the first vote after the merge with Elizabeth, where she was seen as somebody who, you know, she was trying to pander to Elizabeth for these jury votes. So
yes,
that this is something that she's already been, accused of. So
if I were not on Angelina's side, I would definitely use those against her in these closing moments.
How would you use it against her?
Just be like, look, she's been pandering to the jury. She's got Elizabeth's vote. She's got these people's vote because she gave up for rice and these guys were the ones that got rice. She's got, but if she's with me, you don't do any of that. You help protect her. It just depends on where you're at in the game and who you're aligned with. But that those type of plays, if you're, can go wrong for you. I think sure they can go right, but I don't think the jury looks at those so much. For me, when I see a move like that as a jury player, I would think more of a used car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think that the tactic would be a strong play. I would be more bugged by it, thinking that they thought it was a strong play. So I would think it would have little to zero effect on my vote for who wins the game in the end.
Tyson, how are you feeling about Mike White so far in this season?
He's okay. He's fine.
He's okay?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of his work outside of Survivor?
Well, the only thing I know is School of Rock, and I think I saw a couple episodes of him on Amazing Race.
Yes, that's all you know him from?
What else is he on?
Do you know that you and I have already podcast about a movie that he was the writer of?
He was the writer of Emoji Movie?
Yes.
Well, I didn't feel great about that show, but I bet he got paid a truckload of money.
Yeah. He according to IMDb, wrote the screenplay for the Emoji Movie.
Lots of talent.
Yes. So, Tyson, would it be a good spot here to recast the Survivor Final 8 as Emoji?
Probably. Are you going to help me?
Yeah. This would be a fun exercise, I feel like.
Let me get my phone out and start looking at some emojis.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not a real emoji guy, but that's probably because I'm 39.
Yeah. Hey, I think that emoji are pretty timeless.
Are they?
Yeah, or ageless, sure.
Sure, okay.
Sure. This is one that we probably should have, done some work on beforehand, but maybe we could wing it and see, who should be what emoji.
Got it.
Yeah. Who, you got them all?
Christian is hard eyes. Cause everybody loves him.
Everybody loves him. Okay. He's not is there like
in
a
love with everybody
emoji or robot emoji?
Yeah, there is a robot emoji, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
No, there's like this robot face here.
Who would you put as cry face one?
Well, I think it would be Gabby. With all due respect to Gabby, that she's played a really strong game, but I do think that, if you were going to cast Gabby as an emoji, I think it would be a disservice to not cast her as crying emoji.
Okay. And would Mike White be the emoji from the main...
The main character
of the emoji, the meh emoji.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one for him. I'm not sure necessarily what else you would do. That he's sort of like been branded as the writer. So
yeah.
I don't know if there's like a writing emoji, but sure. He could be the meh main character emoji from the Emoji Movie.
Okay.
So that brings us to what about Allison?
Allison, probably the doctor, like this, not the stethoscope, but what's that like buckle thing they wear on their head?
Yeah. So there is an emoji of the person that looks like a doctor.
Okay. We'll just use that then.
Okay. Yeah. It's probably a disservice to Allison, but there's not really enough there in the source material.
Yeah. You chose your path, Allison. This is what you'll always be known as.
Okay. How about Kara? This might be the toughest one.
Oh, this is definitely the toughest one.
Yes.
Oh, man.
She did win immunity last night.
You're thinking the immunity emoji?
There's no immunity emoji. Now, she did have the thing with Dan.
How come Survivor doesn't have its own emoji pack?
I don't know. A lot of other shows do.
Mm-hmm.
So...
there you go. Pass. Next.
Okay. And then what about Nick?
Nick, the lawyer emoji.
This isn't a lawyer emoji.
The guy in the suit emoji.
The guy in the suit? That's Nick?
I don't know.
I think
we started off strong with the people we had things for.
Well,
and then the rest.
Right into us. And Davey, do we have anything for Davey?
Probably basketball.
Why? Because he dunked that one time?
Yeah, and then talked about how he dunked that one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although he did not, represent himself as the winner. Although I'm not sure if one person could have done one. I think he got one, but I'm not sure if you could if both people had to shoot their ball in the reward challenge.
I don't know either, but yeah. He did dunk one. He missed a dunk, and then he got a dunk.
He got a dunk. All right, Tyson. Let's bring in some questions here from the listeners of the podcast.
Very good.
Okay. Isaac has a question for you. Who is Davey playing like? I can't think of anybody who has played before that has played like him. He's not bitter. He's unselfish, protective of others, but self-interested. I can't put my thumb on it.
I don't know. I like Davey.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he's playing.
Yeah.
I love his voice.
Yeah.
I think his voice is an incredible voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I have not thought of that. Who is he playing like? I probably don't know the history of Survivor well enough. Who would you suggest? If he wins, me. Probably.
Is he like a Tyson? Well, everybody does seem to like him, so check.
Yeah.
He won immunity last week. Check.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it has to be you.
I guess it's me. Plays unselfishly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but also selfishly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes.
I think those are the attributes, Isaac, that you have to win. That's the way that you most likely have to play. I mean, there's obviously different circumstances depending on who you're sitting by in the end game, but I think in general you need to be perceived as someone of what you have just described.
Okay. Tyson, this is a question for you from Cody. This says, Rob and Steven on the Know-It-Alls mention how Christian has the biggest hill to climb in order to get to the end. I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on how Christian could navigate his way to the end and what he may need to do after this epic vote to get the target off of him. Thanks, guys. Tyson, do you see a path for Christian?
Yeah, I think he's gonna scramble. He's got to find an idol.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to, but that will definitely help him. And then he, on top of that, he needs to win out some immunities.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to create a sales pitch with people he's going to the end with.
Yes.
About how he can't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least has an equal shot of, you know, and that's something that is probably should have been worked on earlier, but I think that you have to make the sales pitch to the people you're going to the end with that they can beat you.
Yeah.
And then finding an idol will help and winning immunities will help and learning how to make fire just in case.
And what does that look like? Is that sort of like, hey, everybody hates me. Everybody's mad at me. I can't win. Does he just need to start saying that to people?
The jury looks pissed at me every time I look over. They're upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have too much blood on my hands, or you have made better, smarter moves, even though I've been it needs to be a true sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
An accurate, an honest one, but not necessarily to the magnitude that my sales pitch to Jervis and Monica, which I also believed, was we have made all the same moves together throughout this entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the only ones that have a chance at beating each other in the end. If us three go to the end with anybody else, we're not going to have a shot at winning. So we may as well stick together. Plus, did you see how mad Tina was when we turned on her to force her to have to vote for one of us?
Mm-hmm.
It would just be the icing on the cake.
Yeah. I think that you did a really good job of, you know, keeping that group together all the way through the finale. And I'm not even describing it like a move. It seemed like that the three of you seemed very like, and I don't know, you know, how Monica or Jervis felt, if they felt like that they got screwed and they should have won the game. But it seemed like, based on their reactions at that finale, it seemed like that they were all happy for your win.
Yeah, I think they were. I mean, I would consider both of those people my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a bittersweet moment. Those are definitely bittersweet moments where if I can't win, I would prefer it would be a close friend or a friend mm-hmm. to win the game. Like, had I gotten voted out and Jervis or Monica would have been at the finals, I would have definitely voted for one of those two. Even if they were the ones that had turned on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't, I think I'm sure they would have preferred to win, but I would like to think that they were also happy for me.
So it feels like to me, like if you were in a season and things were breaking down, like voting blocks of like, okay, let's vote for this person for one vote, this person for another vote, and then just try to get to the end with, you know, some sort of a, you know, random combination of people that you think you can beat. It feels like to me that doesn't really jive with the way that you play.
It hasn't, and that would be my biggest fear going into a new Survivor. But at the same time, I feel like I could adapt to it. I usually am friends with most, if not every person on the season in the moment. So I feel like I could, you know, jump back and forth and shift if that's what the game was demanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I would prefer to play because I would have a really hard time going back and working with someone who had slighted me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that would have already showed that I can't trust him. And then to have to put my faith in him again, I'd probably just have like my entire mouth skin would all just be canker sore from the stress of just like, I don't know if I can trust these people, but I have to. But yeah. They've already proven to me that I can't trust them. But this is the move I have to make. So the only thing I can do is trust them. I think it makes it more difficult. And you look at, I mean, but you look at somebody like, I think even within those instances, you still have people like Gabby and Christian up until this point, they have stuck together. And that's a lot of times how seasons go.
Yeah.
You know, you still have your number one or number two that usually, I mean, still even in these seasons where people are jumping back and forth, it's a lot of times still a multi-person move where there's some people who have stuck by each other throughout the remainder, throughout most of it.
Do you feel like the game has changed greatly since you last played? Now, this is now, and I have not acknowledged this sooner. This is a huge mistake on my part. It's been 10 seasons now since Survivor Blood versus Water. And if my calculations are correct, coming up here in a week or so is going to be the 5-year anniversary of you winning Survivor Blood versus Water.
Correct.
What's the date? Do you remember the date?
December 15th.
December 15th. So the 5-year anniversary of Tyson winning Survivor is around the corner. Great, great finale, great reunion.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I need a little pick-me-up, I just go back to my emails on December 15th and read everybody's congratulatory notes.
Have you ever really done that?
No.
Okay. Will you one day?
Maybe. Okay. I did discover like that secret Facebook message inbox for people who aren't your friends.
Yes.
Like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And was browsing through those. And that was the time when the bulk of the influx of messages came was over that span of a couple days of fans congratulating me.
What was the message? If you had if you got one of Christian's robots to read all of those messages and then with machine learning spit out what the average message to you was, what would it be?
I know you don't know me and you probably won't even see this, but me and my family were rooting for you the whole time. We've loved you on every season. We didn't like you at first, but we love you this season. Or you were in my Survivor pool, so thanks for winning me $200. Something along those lines. They were all. I would say 99% positive.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So no hate mail.
The only hate mail was from me telling Katie that her seat was going to be on the jury.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you did get hate mail for that.
Yeah. You're despicable. Disgust me as a human being. Like how rude you were to Katie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I've been way ruder to way more people in my younger life than just telling people where they're going to sit the next tribal council.
This is a question for you from RJ. Robin Tyson, who's the biggest goat of the season? Is it Angelina, whose jury pandering early in the merge cost her the respect of her fellow castaways? Or is it Mike, who's playing well but is already rich and successful? How do you stop yourself from being a goat? And Tyson, my question to you is it possible to un-goat yourself?
Man, we've never seen that, but people have asked for that season after season of like a Philip getting to the end and being like, hello, gentlemen and gentlewomen, just for the record, I am not a lunatic. I was playing a role to get here. I knew that it would get me to the end easily. And now I would like to let you know that I took acting classes a month leading up to this just to play that role of the secret agent, Philip Shepherd Esquire.
Right. I don't even know if a jury would buy that. If a survivor hypothetically was going to.
I would vote for it. It would be so hilarious whether it was true or not.
The survivors would have a sense of humor for it.
Oh, dude, it would be, even if I knew it wasn't true, the fact that that was what the argument was, for me, that would be the vote.
But somebody should try it. Somebody should try it where, like, somebody, one of these seasons where somebody's like, okay, well, I know I got dragged to the end. I'm going to be a zero vote finalist and just come up with a whole, like, affect that they drop at the final tribal council of, greetings, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Hello. I'm actually right. Like an accent
even if
and everything.
It wasn't
they
true.
Were doing like if Ace, who had a British accent,
yeah,
showed up at Final Tribal Council and was like, "Hello, I'm actually American. I'm surprised you didn't know that British people couldn't even play this game. I faked that the whole time, and I'm not actually a photographer." I am actually an accountant. I've been doing that for a number of years. I have an in-home practice. It's not profitable, but I enjoy it.
That's good because you want to make it sound like he's a little
exactly.
You know, there's a little bit of a need there also.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm seventh in line for the throne.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I think that if you were playing the goat, I would love to see a season like that.
Tyson, Tender Taryn wants to ask you, do you think Hot Felon would have done better than Hot Cop Dan? Of course, we talk all the time about Hot Mugshot Guy on News AF. Do you
think he might be too famous?
Is he the art? Well, Hot. What about Hot Cop? Is he the arch enemy of Hot Cop, Hot Mugshot Guy?
Oh, dude, they would be having pose offs all day, air day out there. Like, oh, hey, whose booty's better, ladies? Just, you know, just purely from, you know, just to know.
Do you think we could get Eric Reichenbach to write the comic book series of Hot Cop Dan and then...
Versus Hot Cop Felon?
Yeah, Hot Felon.
Versus Hot Felon?
Yeah.
Who's hotter, Hot Cop Dan or Hot Felon?
I think that, I mean, I personally say... Mm-hmm. You know, Hot Mugshot Guy is a little more, is more my type.
Okay.
Seems
even
dangerous.
With the face tattoo.
Seems more dangerous.
Yeah, you like the dangerous
types. I like a bad boy.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yes. So that would be my personal pick, but you know, your mileage may vary.
Yeah. I well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings on this show, so I'm just going to say it's a tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if it ding, marry, kill, sure. Marry Hot Cop Dan.
Yeah, to be safe.
Yes, right.
Because he's going to be a great protector.
Yeah, provider, sure. All,
provider,
all of those things.
All of those things. And
I'll take Hot Shot Guy.
Yeah, for, you know, just... contacting over the CB radio at the truck stop and then meeting up.
Sure. Tyson, but... In this comic book, could we also work in like a whole, you know, rogues gallery of the different mugshot guys? And we haven't talked about, have you seen a wide neck mugshot guy?
Oh, of course, dude.
I think that he should be in the rogues gallery of people that are plotting against Hot Cop Dan.
Yeah, we should have wide neck and then what's the other kid's name with the super long scrawny neck? Daddy long neck or something.
Yeah, this is going to be like some sort of like Dick Tracy world where like all of the bad guys have some sort of like
weird neck thing
or weird mugshot thing, at least.
Goiter boy.
Yeah. There's a neck mugshot guy. They call him viral neck guy. And then there's also skinny neck guy.
Yeah. Wide neck guy has like 300,000 followers on Twitter and Instagram.
He's
or
huge.
Something ridiculous.
Yes. Could Survivor get any of the neck guys to play in a Survivor season?
I think they could have before they hit their fame.
Oh, now they're too big?
Now they're probably too big.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Survivor's a family show. I don't know if like hot mugshot guy or, you know, neck mugshot guy or skinny neck mugshot guy. I don't know if that is on board with the branding.
I mean, they like to have a little danger on there.
A little bit. But I don't know. These guys, you know, they could be arrested. Like these guys end up on TMZ for, you know, completely unrelated reasons.
Are you saying
Survivor.
Are you saying that Survivor contestants have never been arrested after the show?
No, but I feel like that the Survivor doesn't like that.
I feel like they probably don't care that much.
But, okay, so hypothetically, Tyson, could we have build a season around sort of like reformed bad boys?
I think you have a thick neck tribe, a scrawny neck tribe, a long neck tribe, and a short neck
Four
tribe.
Four tribes?
Of necks.
Nah, that's too many tribes.
So how many? You think three? A triple tribe?
Three. Two or three. I mean, could you build a season about like these are people that are on the good side of the law. These are people in like law enforcement and sort of like on the
angels versus demons.
Yes. Angels versus demons season.
I like it.
These are the people. They're from the wrong side of the tracks. Are they going to come in here? Are they going to play underhanded? I guess it's kind of like a heroes versus villains, but with like regular people.
With people who in their daily lives are angels or demons.
Mm-hmm.
This guy admitted to us that he fills the gas tanks up at his used car lot with sawdust so they run smooth for a couple days before finally crapping out completely.
Why would somebody do that?
I don't know. To sell cars. That's just what was in the show Matilda. I don't know if it's actually really works.
The kids show?
Yeah. Her dad, Danny DeVito, is a used car guy. I think maybe it's in the book or something where they add something to make the car run really great for like a week or two or pass the warranty. And then it famously just gets destroyed.
Will that work?
I don't know enough about cars. I thought I was going to have to throw.
What about if you pour sawdust into the bicycle?
No.
That will not work.
The cheat for a bicycle is to clean it all with diesel fuel, which strips all the grease away, but you don't want all the grease away.
Okay. All right. Well, save that one for angels and demons.
Yeah. Oh, I will. I didn't do that. I did that to my own bike.
By accident?
No, just sparsely. Like if you're just cleaning a little grease off of it or something like that, that's okay. But if you, you're not trying to strip all the grease off of every moving part. But diesel fuel is the way to do that. You can and then re-grease it. So if you're doing a deep clean, it's okay. But I think you can get into some trouble with some diesel fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think you have the like the guy who got kicked out of school or the guys that, you know, got fired from their jobs for breaking the rules or something like that. Mm-hmm. Even guys who are, you know, on the track to being well again or something. Just somebody who had a hiccup like that in their life.
This is not a bad season idea.
It's the best season idea they've had in the last five seasons.
Tyson, this is a question from Brosif on Twitter.
Okay.
Do the brochachos give too many shaka or not enough? Have you noticed, not even the brochachos, Alec from Survivor, I have noticed that he has been giving your signature shaka hand gesture to people.
Yeah, I think we all know the answer to that question. There can never be too many shakas.
No, there can't.
It's one of those jokes where the first time somebody says shaka and you haven't heard shaka in a long time, you're like, that's kind of funny. And then like two or three into it, you're like, oh, I wish this guy would stop. And then like 60 into it, you're like, all right, it's funny again.
Mm-hmm. You're back.
You're back.
Now, is Alec doing it to be funny like you?
No, He's 100% serious. I used to say shaka to people instead of any other greeting in professional settings. Like if I went to a formal dining experience, when someone would pour me my drink, I would say shaka. And they never knew how to respond. And that's what made it so great.
Tyson, Steve Schultz wants to know, what are your thoughts on Christian evaluating the reactions of the other survivors before playing his idol?
I think it was probably mostly theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he needed to play the idol and knew he needed to play the idol long before that. I think my experience in Survivor has been that you don't get the luxury of hearing that people are voting for you too often. And so in those moments when you have an idol and you're hearing that, you play your idol unless you are more privy to a even more... wild plan of them trying to draw the idol out. So I think it was more theatrical. I don't know what he would have gained. Gabby seemed like she played it cool as ice, bro. When he looked at her and she was just like, play it if you want. I don't give a shit. I was like, whoa. This is the happiest we've seen Gabby the entire season, is her betraying her closest ally and then her getting voted out. Mm-hmm. She enjoyed both of those things more than any other part of the season.
Tyson, this is a question from Colin Conkey on Twitter. If production doesn't let you wear a cowboy hat when you play again, would you consider voting out Elizabeth Colby, Rick Nelson, or Ben Driebergen just to get their cowboy hat?
I'd get them all out. If this were the cowboy hat tribe versus the not cowboy hat tribe, the second we merge, they'd all be gone and I'd have all their hats. Also, Ben.
Why?
You can afford a new hat. Go get a new hat, bro.
Yeah.
He wears that old hat everywhere and I get it, but he needs a formal hat. Show me your formal hat,
you're
Ben.
Calling out his hat game.
I can put him in touch with a custom hat maker who would make anything he wanted.
Yeah.
And I feel like he won $1 million somewhere.
Okay.
And so I think I love you, Ben, but you need a new hat for some of these. You can wear the old hat for doing the goat videos on Instagram and stuff.
They're good. I like those.
I do. You need the new hat for going out to dinner.
Tyson, Franz Stahl on Twitter asked, what is his IQ score?
Whose?
You. I'm guessing you. And then
what's my IQ score?
What dislike most on Survivor? So somebody on Twitter wants to know, what's your IQ score?
I think when I took the Survivor IQ test, which is maybe the most legitimate IQ test I've taken... Mm-hmm. I want to say between 120 and 130.
120, 130. I have no idea what my IQ test is. And I took the testing for when I went through casting for Big Brother, but I don't know if they never gave me a number.
They don't give you a number. So what had happened is when I got voted out of Heroes versus Villains, Dr. Liza was with another contestant and was able to attend to our needs. So the substitute doctor that was assigned to talk to us, who hadn't participated in Survivor before, I asked her what I scored on the test and she retrieved it for me and told me. But in general, I think they don't tell you.
Ideally, right.
Yes.
Okay. Tyson.
And I could be wrong, but I remember... Or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. It sounds like a low ball. I think that
it could be higher.
It could be higher.
I was just setting myself up for season 40.
Mm-hmm. Mike Schultz says, who on this cast would eat soup from a grocery store cauldron?
On this cast, everybody in the moment right now where they're at in the game, everybody would. The hardest part for me the first time I played Survivor was slurping out of a communal pot of beans, watery beans. I was so disgusted with who I had become as a person in a few short days.
Is that the only time when it's appropriate to eat soup from a grocery store cauldron when you're on Survivor?
Yes.
This is one from Jen Manning, longtime friend of the podcast. Tyson, yes. You're my favorite player of all time. Who is your favorite player of all time?
Oh, that's hard. I don't necessarily have one single favorite player. I love, if I show people Survivor that have not seen Survivor in a long time or ever, I show them clips of Coach. I show them clips of Phillip. Show them clips of Debbie. Show them clips of Natalie this season. I love the wacky, confident character.
Okay, wacky and confident. Do you see that person out there this season?
Yeah, Natalie this season.
Okay, so and that was your one person. Yeah, that was the one person you did go, goo goo gaga for, and that she appreciated it.
Yeah, I love that character style because there's some type of sincerity in what they're doing and how they're doing it, especially on their first season. Like Coach on Token Jeans, still one of the greatest performances as a character, I think. Like I didn't necessarily appreciate it to the full extent while I was out there, but I have turned on clips of him like doing his stuff on top of his Tai Chi on top of the sand dunes and hobbling around with that walking stick and crumbling to the ground, complaining about his back pain, and just all of it was just so great and so innocent because none of us had ever been in that situation of being on TV and on camera, and we didn't know what the outcome was going to be. It wasn't like we were trying to get anything across to any sort of audience. Mm-hmm. We were just being ourselves and playing the game.
Was there a lot of stuff that was on the cutting room floor, or do you feel like that most of like the wildest stuff was in the show, and then the stuff that wasn't on the show was like pretty tame, or we didn't miss a lot?
Oh, you didn't miss a lot. The best stuff was on the show.
Okay. Because, I think that's one of those things where I wouldn't know necessarily if it was like, no, you saw that was the tip of the iceberg.
I mean, it was the tip of the iceberg, but it was the best tip.
Do you remember anything in particular that happened in the real world that did not make it into the show?
No, I don't think so. I think Coach talking about all the kayaking he had done, and then there was a kayaking reward and he didn't get it and he didn't get selected for it, and he was really upset about it and jealous of everybody, and even ended up leaving like Debbie, who got to go on the reward, like kind of out in the cold about it and stuff. And that was pretty fun, but they might have showed that a little bit, but stuff like that. I think they did show when she was cold and wanted a jacket, and she didn't have a lot of clothes. She had like this little like sundress thing on, and Coach had he had jeans and this nice sports coat, and he said, "Hey," and Debbie, and he had a long sleeve dress shirt too. And Debbie said, "Hey, Coach, can I, I'm so cold tonight." It was like on a raining night. She's like, "Can I please use your jacket,
Natalie?"
And Coach was using it as a pillow to sleep on and told her no. And to me, I was just like, that is so harsh to be like, I know you're cold, but I need a pillow.
Yeah.
And in his defense, his argument was that his back hurt so bad.
Did you see him when he went to exile?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. His back hurt so bad that he needed the pillow to help with his back issues too. But in the moment and in the context and the way you perceived it, it was really cold-hearted, especially as Debbie and myself were his two closest allies in the game.
So Steven has another question for you. In his bio, Nick answered, which Survivor contestant are you most like? And he said, JT, do you see this?
The accent.
Okay. Do you feel like that he is playing like the JT that you played with?
Yeah, probably a little bit, actually. He's fitting in with everybody. He's mingling. He's kind of playing the good old boy. He's probably more aggressive or go-getter than JT was.
Mm-hmm.
He's more active in his gameplay strategically than maybe JT was. Like, he's going to people and forming alliances outside of his core alliance and doing it all himself, or being perceived to do it all himself, where I don't ever think I had a one-on-one conversation strategically with JT. Steven was always there, or, you know, somebody else in his alliance was always there. So it wasn't, I think Nick is maybe doing more of his own work, which isn't good or bad per se, but it's a difference. But I can see that. I can see that he would compare to JT. Is he saying JT from Heroes versus Villains, or JT versus in Game Changers?
I think he's talking about JT from Token Genes.
Oh, okay. Because you have to really distinguish between those three.
Yeah. Thanks. What's going to happen next on Survivor?
Oh, I predict blindsides.
Yes.
I predict tears.
Can you predict for me who is the next person that is going to be voted out and who is the person that's going to win?
The next person to get voted out, man, this is going to be hard because logically you would say Christian unless he finds an idol. But you may view Christian now and say, who does he have? He might not have anybody, or they may not think he has anybody enough to move forward with that. They may put him on the back burner for a vote or two. So I also think it's probably crunch time for the Davids now that they're in the not in the majority anymore, right?
Yeah, it might be time to get crunched.
So it might be time. They're either going to get crunched, or they either need to figure out how to get another David out of the game and flip things back into their favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that would be such a letdown for the Davids, where there was this great story, David versus Goliath, and here comes David, the plucky upstarts. They come into the merge, and they're down in the numbers, and they use their advantages, and they get back on their side, and then they turn on each other, and then the Goliaths take back over and knock out all the Davids.
Yeah, but to be fair, the most Davids of the Goliaths are the ones left in the game.
Yes, yes.
The most David-y Goliaths.
And that was probably how it was going to work out, where the
either the most Goliath-y Davids or the most David-y Goliaths were going to make it to the end.
Yeah. And I think that when we look at these seasons that are like that, you know, in Millennials versus Gen X, Adam is like the one of the older of the
Millennials,
of the Millennials, I think, or it was going to be one of the younger people from the
Gen X's.
So, yeah, I think the person that's sort of like most in the middle does tend to do well in these things.
Yeah. So I think I don't disagree with that. I think that's, even from the onset, I looked at some of these, the Goliaths that are still left in the game, and thought that they fit in better on the David's tribe.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is where it's going? Do you think that we'll see the Davids now picked off, boom, boom, boom?
It would be entertaining just because of the dynamic and power shifts that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think it will be that straightforward.
Yeah. Well, we only have one more regular episode, and then it's the finale in 2 weeks.
Wow. Are you going?
I'm not going to go this time.
Are you doing the red carpet?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to stay home.
Oh, okay. That's more convenient.
It's more convenient, and you know, I've been to 4 in a row. Maybe I'll go back next season.
Okay, Well, you're definitely going to be there next season unless they ban you from sitting in on your own live finale. Yeah, oh no, that's season 40.
I'm gonna be on this. No, no, I'm not.
That's season 40 that you're on.
Yeah, yes, yes. Don't get too far ahead of us.
Yeah,
yeah. Tyson, is there anything from earlier in the season that you saw that you wanted to weigh in on?
Probably, but I can't recall all that. My IQ isn't high enough.
Yes, I thought it was ridiculously high.
Yeah, I now that I'm remembering after you said it was low, I think it was 170 or 180.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite contestant this season? Who are you rooting for right now? Do you have somebody that you...
Tyson, as a journalist, I try not to outwardly root for any of the contestants. I feel like it impugns my credibility as a podcaster.
Okay. I think so, too. I was testing you.
Yeah, once I say that I'm rooting for somebody, and that's not really how I look at the show, then if that person makes a move, and then I say I like it, oh, you're biased because you said you like that person, you're rooting for them to win, and that's what. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once I come out hard or, you know, for somebody, then it creates a lot of problems for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Kevin Daugherty wants to know, Tyson, what do you think of the fact that we've seen so little about the fire-making challenge at the Final Four? When we have people talking about the Final Four deals, do you think they're incorporating that into their decision, or are they just more involved in the short-term game? Is that something that you would factor into if you were playing Survivor in terms of like, hey, let's get to the four, and would you look at the people in your alliance in terms of how good they were at making the fire?
Yeah, I would. But also, I can make fire better than anybody, so
I would think wouldn't, so.
I wouldn't be too concerned with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have to look at this now. I mean, who is making the fire every day? Who have you seen start a fire? Who is concerned with practicing making a fire? And who... you look at all those things, and then you... I think you definitely have to take into account that aspect of the game now.
Mm-hmm. Do you like that there's the Final Four fire making?
No.
You don't like it?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I don't know.
As somebody
that's
good at making the fire, why do you not like this?
I think it would benefit me, but I think it's designed... The design is to make sure that it's not one champion and two goats going to the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the fire making challenge kind of ensures, in general, more of a champion accomplished player would make a fire better than someone who's just like along for the ride, is the idea probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure, it maybe makes for a more even vote in the finales, which they have been lacking a lot of times. It's been a blowout, which I don't think is particularly the most exciting thing to see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I get why they do that, but I don't think that the game of Survivor is about making fire, or it didn't used to be, and now it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, I mean, from a purely selfish standpoint, okay, I like it because I think it will benefit me, just like I like a Redemption Island season because I feel like it will benefit me.
Yeah.
But do I think that it's more... It takes away from the social aspect to a certain degree as you get down to those. So somebody who has maybe built up their social resume all of a sudden can't get to the finals unless they make fire.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. So what about instead of making fire every season at the Final Four, what if it was like some sort of a death match, but you didn't know what it was? Maybe you could spin a wheel.
Some type of endurance challenge or something.
Yeah, yes, maybe it's going to be some sort of a, you know, one-on-one duel at the Final Four.
Prefer that.
You win that because maybe one season it could be a balance thing. One season it could be make a fire. One season it could be, you know, build a house of cards. And so
The thing is even then it's skewed towards a certain set of talents. Based
spin a wheel. Spin a wheel. So
you're spinning
then it's
a wheel.
Not like,
yes. Okay. So then it's all luck of the draw.
Right.
I don't dislike that, but then you get like a challenge where it is only a luck of the draw thing. Then it's still, I don't know. I think maybe if you could come up with a pretty fair set of circumstances, or even just, you know, do like the classic like physical and then puzzle thing, or balance mixed with something else.
Yeah.
Then sure. I don't dislike that. I like that better.
Yeah, because the challenges. I do feel like that you know, if we, you know, have this for 10 or 12 seasons, will we see our winner list really skew to people that have this one particular skill set? So hypothetically,
yes.
If like in Survivor San Juan del Sur, instead of Keith Nail getting voted out at the final four, then Keith Nail goes on to win the final four fire making challenge and is then the winner of the season. Like, is have we improved the game?
No,
I don't think so either. With all due respect to the great Keith Nail.
I think the first time they did the fire challenge, I think it improved the game last season when we saw Wendell and Dominic mm-hmm. kind of battling it out and yeah. Dominic probably making the wrong decision to send Wendell to make fire, mm-hmm. which then maybe ultimately sealed his fate. I think that played out beautifully, but I think in general, it's not getting the desired results.
Right.
All it's doing is, and as a viewer, for me, when I'm watching it, I'm thinking, this is totally unfair for the person who can make fire and get in. Like, that's just like I feel like I don't know. In the moment, if I were there and I had to make fire to get into the finals, I'd be like, oh yes, I'm so glad this is here. But as a viewer, it's like handing somebody a super idol that they can play at final three. And you just, there's no way they cannot get there. It's like too easy too many times because how many people can make fire well? Not a lot, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so if you get somebody who can make fire well versus somebody who thinks they can or can't, you're going to get the blowout. You're not getting a close, even fire building race.
Mm-hmm.
You're still getting the blowout. You're just getting it there instead of the finale, maybe.
Yeah.
I think it protects it'll protect the game players, the people in charge in those moments, like when they wanted to get Ben out.
Yes.
And so I think that's probably okay because I don't know. I don't like it. I think it's better without it or maybe change it, but to each their own. I don't hate it so bad that I'm going to start a crusade against it.
Yes. Tyson, can I give you a news AF story to weigh in on?
Yes.
This is one that we did not get to talk about this week. Did you follow the plight of the Dutch man who was attempting to legally make his age 20 years younger?
I saw the headline.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is a 69-year-old man.
What was his argument? To get jobs?
No, dating apps. That would really help him on the dating apps. Nobody wanted to date a 69-year-old person.
Let me tell you a secret, Rob.
Yeah, what's
nobody
that?
Wants to date a 69-year-old who lies about being 49.
I thought you were going to say nobody wants to date a 49-year-old.
Oh. Well, probably that too. But nobody even more so wants to date a 69-year-old who lies about being 49.
Yes, probably not. But Tyson, have you considered that you would be able to legally change your age if there was some precedent for this?
Could have changed everything, huh? And what would I change? What would I change my age to?
31.
I'd be an old 31.
Mm-hmm.
And what would that benefit me?
I don't know.
Die 10 years later.
I guess so.
No, it doesn't prolong your life.
It doesn't?
Rob? No, I don't think so. Right. I mean, maybe mentally it would as you're eventually believing the lie you've been telling everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about going on back on Survivor? If anything, Tyson, you should legally change your age to 52 to go back. And then when you're out there like, hey guys, you know, I'm 52. I'm not as, you know, and like, don't worry about Tyson. He's 52.
Yeah. People who have watched Survivor from the beginning are already shocked to learn that I'm 39
mm-hmm.
when they think about the strapping young 28-year-old that was on Survivor token jeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who acted like an 18-year-old.
Right. So you could really, you know, throw people off with these survivors. And then could you be something you talk about in the final tribal council?
Yeah. Hey, I lied about my age. I'm not really 52. I'm an old 39.
Yeah, but legally I am 52.
But legally I am 52 because I got the law on my side. That's how clever I am.
Yeah.
And don't you want to be beat by somebody clever?
Yeah. The trickster.
A trickster.
Yeah.
It's not as shameful when you're beaten by a trickster.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted to know, who do you want to put on a Greyhound bus? I feel like that there's nobody from this season you want to put on a Greyhound bus, right?
Oh, no. Nobody should ride Greyhound unless they have publicly shamed themselves in a way that deems it like, yeah, no. All right. It's all right airplanes, but nice airplanes, preferably.
Preferably. Tyson, anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Do you feel like an emoji movie sequel is in the offing?
I think if Mike doesn't win this season, yeah, he's going to have to write another emoji movie.
So you feel like that the two things are linked somehow?
Yeah, I think for sure they're linked. It's like Robert Redford from Utah. You know, every time his ski resort isn't doing well when another movie comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, oh, ski resort's going under. Time to make another movie.
Yeah.
Get that thing back on top.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the couple of things that we're the most excited about coming out of this podcast, one, Hot Cop Dan comic book versus the different mugshot guys.
Yes.
That's very exciting. And then loved ones going to tribal council.
Yes. And Demons versus Angels season 39.
Yeah. Yeah. Which sort of ties into the comic book. That could be sort of like the jumping off point for the comic book.
For sure.
Okay. Tyson, what else do you have going on?
Honestly, well, my back is pretty much healed because I hurt my back. My back went all the way out a little while ago. I don't know if I told you how bad it went out.
Yeah, what was the inciting incident?
I was playing pickleball and then I hurt my leg just started hurting really bad. Yeah. Pickleball, which is a game designed for elderly people.
Yeah.
It's a mix between ping pong and tennis, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And my leg just started hurting really bad up the backside of my leg. And so I just kept living on it for a couple months and it never got better. It just felt like my hamstring was super tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got worse and worse and more debilitating in my lower back.
Yeah.
And then finally one day I couldn't even move and I had to have Rachel help me to the bathroom. Did I tell you this story already?
No.
So I'm hobbling around and using her as like a crutch. And I have to pee so bad. So I get to the bathroom and I stand up, standing in front of the toilet, and she left me there. And I was like, I'm going to sit down on the toilet to pee because it's going to feel way better to sit down and relax on the toilet and pee rather than to try and stand here with my hurt back. So I pull my pants down to like my knees and I go to sit down on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't sit down because my back hurts too bad. I'm immobile. And so I'm like, oh no, now I got my pants around my knees and I can't move. I have to call Rachel in here to help me pee. This is the moment where like our relationship takes on one more step. Like, yeah, you know, the first time, like when Nicole changes your diapers in like 40 right. years and you're like, God, this is a 40. Barrier we'd never crossed. And now we're across it. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that was this was going to be a moment where we were stepping. So I was like, what can I do to like, I'm 39. This can't be the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally am just like, okay, I'm going to, with all my might, like a scene from like a war movie where the dude who'd been shot up a bunch of times jumps from like the pile of dead bodies and shoots up the entire enemy fleet before dying in agony. I bend down and I'm like, rah! And pull my pants up. And then I piss all over the seat because I can't lift the seat up to pee and go out and hobble out there and apologize to Rachel. Say, hey, I pissed all over the seat in there and I can't bend over to clean it up and I can barely move. So
do you think, okay.
Oh, go ahead.
to say, do you think that had you called her in to help you use the bathroom, do you feel like that would have potentially bonded you guys in some way that would have strengthened your relationship?
For sure. 100%.
Clean up this mess I made.
Oh, for sure. She would have had to hold my ding dong and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, all of it totally would have, but it's also you really have to be humble in those moments to cross that bridge.
Yes.
Do you think in that moment that you would have been humble enough to yell at Nicole to come in and hold your ding dong for you and lift the toilet seat for you and then wipe the pee pee off the tip of your pee pee and then pull your pants up for you, lay the toilet seat down and then flush and then help you hobble back to wherever you were laying?
Boy, there's a lot there in that question, but I think probably the simplest way I can answer that is in two things. That one, that I have found in the times when, and I've been very fortunate to be in good health, you know, most of my life, but in the times that Nicole has had to take care of me, I'm a very independent person. I have, you know, take care of myself, completely. But in the times that I have been not been able to, for whatever reason, that I have found myself saying, like, I love this woman so much that I can't believe that someone is taking care of me. I cannot do this myself, but this wonderful person is taking care of me. I love this woman so much, and that's how I have felt after those moments that I've had. But number two, I do have terrible stage fright, and I don't know if I would be able to urinate if I was receiving that kind of assistance.
Right. Well, the same with Rachel. In those moments where she is a wonderful caretaker and goes above and beyond what is even necessary mm-hmm. to keep me alive. But
I'm so appreciative in those moments.
I haven't reached that point in my life. I want to get to the point in my life where I'm not going to remember the next day that she did that for me. That's when I will accept getting my diapers changed by my wife.
when you are senile, that's when you'd yes. like, you want to get to that point?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to get to the point of what is it? Senility.
Mm-hmm.
Before my wife has to help with every aspect of my bathroom visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my wife has like one good...
But your wife is a nurse,
yeah,
right?
She's also a nurse. Yeah. So she's used
to this stuff. Yeah. Right. So you're like...
I'm not used to it.
I don't know why you're not having her do this already for right. you. This,
well,
you should already just be like, I could pee by myself, but why?
She has like one good day of caretaking for me. And then by like day two, she is like, all right, enough already of this.
Also helps you. Tough love
of, yeah, yeah. But I'm not, you know, I'm not getting up with these kids by myself now.
So if you wanted to fast forward through all of that, long story short, my back is filling 98% today, and it has been on the mend. I've been going to a physical therapist and I feel really good. I think I had suffered from a bulging disc, which was pinching a nerve,
mm-hmm. yeah.
a sciatic nerve down my leg.
Yes.
And that seems to have been pretty much alleviated.
Okay. But you're all set now.
I'm all set.
Okay. Boy, Tyson,
age, man.
That was a great story.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. What part did you like the most, where I referred to my penis as my ding dong?
No, I wasn't really thinking about that part, but.
Okay.
No, it was a very human story.
Yeah, too human? Or do you think that the people will be endeared to me now?
I think it was perfectly human. I don't think you could be too human.
Okay, good.
So, great job. And then
Thank you.
Christian will invent a robot, will work on a series of robots that at the point when you require that level of care, you know, on a daily basis, the robots will be taking care of you.
And also, if he could get cracking on a robot that could whisper poker strategy to my ear in the moment when I need it for the Bahamas next month in January, he could help me win maybe $5 to $6 million.
Well, Tyson, this is, let me bring this full circle with the poker, because when we were recently in Reno for Jason Somerville's Run It Up Reno, you, myself, Adam Klein, Boston Rob, and Shireen, we played in a charity poker game.
And that's correct.
So I was hanging in there, and there was, you know, one hand in particular that I ended up being sort of like the fatal hand for me in the game. And Boston Rob was to the left. I think that maybe did Shireen had gone all in, and then
Shireen was already out.
I know. I think Boston Rob had gone. He was the first. He was the first to go, and he had gone all in. And I had, you know, not a particularly great hand, but I thought that maybe Rob was bluffing. And Shireen went all in, and then it came to me, and I said, "Boy, you know, I'm not that good at poker, but I kind of felt like if I'm going to win the game, then I need to make a big move, because I'm not going to, if I just keep playing it safe, I'm not going to win the game. I'm not good enough to sort of like just grind it out and win." So I said, let me, I'll go all in too. And this is going to be my big move here at this spot. And if it works, then I'll have a huge chip lead and I'll probably go on to at least, if not win, go very far. And I did not have a great hand. I lost that hand, and I was soon out of the tournament. And so in terms of going back to Gabby, and I was thinking about this before we came on today, was that at all similar to where Gabby was, where she
this
felt
was
like
her all-in moment?
Yes, finally. Because I had lunch with Rob then after the tournament, and I said that did I make the right move there? Was that good? And he said, no, that wasn't the right move. You gotta think about how many more rounds you're gonna stay in there. And yeah, I felt like that. Yeah, this makes sense.
Yes. So you need to think about how many rounds of the table you still have left. Anything over 40 big blinds is a very comfortable stack.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with two other people all in with big enough stacks that they will damage you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have an ultra premium hand, you just want to get out of the way.
But I thought, oh, I could take out a big player and I could make my
move. But what was your hand? What was your hand?
I had a ace jack offsuit.
I mean, no, ace jack offsuit isn't the cutoff for that. Probably an ace queen suited or better.
Yeah. Again,
or a pair of tens or bigger.
But probably of the people at that table, you know, I know the fourth most about poker out of the people that are playing in this game. And I felt like that I needed to, that I was going to need to make a big move and get lucky.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be all of your chips.
And that was like Gabby.
What you want to do with players who are more experienced than you is put half your chips in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they're going to get out of the way for just that. Then you have more than one move left.
Yeah.
When you still have enough chips to do something like that, put a quarter of your chips in or you know, because with that many people, yeah, I think. But I do understand the parallels. Gabby was going all in there. And there are some moments on Survivor, as in poker, where you do need to go all in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if Christian had decided not to play the idol, that would have been his all-in moment, where he's like, I'm either going to squeak by and keep my idol for the future, and that's my all-in moment, or I'm going out tonight trying to do that. He chose not to do that, obviously, and it worked out the way it did, but that is another example of an all-in moment. So I think Gabby also, I don't think she thought she was going to go home yesterday. I think she thought
Allison was going to go home.
Yes. She thought either Christian or Allison were going to go home. So I don't think that necessarily was her all-in moment, but I think she thought, okay, I'm going to go after Christian. If we get him out tonight, then I'm on to brighter, greener pastures. But if I attempt it and fail, it's my nail in the coffin. Okay. So I think it was perceived by her as an all-in moment, but it wasn't necessarily that she was going to win or that she wasn't necessarily going to be ejected from the game. If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. We had a lot of fun today. We brought it
back.
Too
much fun?
Not too much fun.
and the right amount.
We brought it back to Survivor. Tyson, tell me, where can people follow you? Where can people keep up with what you're doing?
Twitter and Instagram and my Facebook fan page. And
are you doing any Twitch?
I have a Twitch account, and we do the podcast on Twitch. I need to do more Twitch. Maybe as this PokerStars things gets closer, the PokerStars Players mm-hmm. Championship, I might post more to Twitch or YouTube or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a dad now. I prefer to spend time with my kids and watch mm-hmm. them grow up. And so I'm probably most active on Twitter of all my places.
Yeah.
Instagram, if you want to see pictures of my kids mm-hmm. or me doing something silly every 5 months, you can go there.
Yeah. somebody asked to make sure we give a shout out to Danny Bryson's Instagram also.
Yeah, he's a good guy, birthday boy yesterday,
mm-hmm.
mediocre amateur. He's our co-host on News AF, the someone I saw tweeted about it being the funniest podcast of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't disagree with him.
Tyson, you said on Twitter, bet your daughter didn't ask Santa for a toy rat today. Did that happen? Did Bergen ask Santa?
She asked Santa for a toy rat.
Yes.
And he was like, what? And I had to walk up and be like, what did you say? And we'd heard it for like the last 2 days leading up to that she was going to ask Santa for a toy rat. She's been watching a Peppa Pig Christmas special,
yeah.
which I guess has like a toy wind-up mouse or rat or something in it. So that's where she was getting it from. She just wasn't articulating it very well. So I did order her a toy rat.
Yes. Okay.
But it's like disgusting. It's like a rubbery, realistic looking one.
Did you ever see a rat on Survivor?
No.
Yeah.
Surprisingly not.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, we didn't have any vermin in either of the seasons that I played. At least none that I saw.
Yeah, that's the same with me. I was told there was going to be rats present on probably all the seasons, but I didn't see him on any.
Did Jervis ever talk about when he ate the rat?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he talked about how it was good?
I don't think so.
He talked about
I don't
how
remember.
He didn't like it.
I don't remember exactly. I remember that, and I remember him saying that those sea crates were everywhere. The sea snake thingies.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, those were all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And did he eat them?
No, I think they're very poisonous.
Okay, don't do that then. Okay.
Yeah, don't all do right. that.
Tyson, I will catch up with you again on the News AF podcast.
One of our favorite podcasts.
One of our favorite podcasts.
Josh Wiggler's favorite podcast.
Yes. I don't know if he keeps up to date with it, but he says he does enjoy it whenever he listens.
Well, he should, because it's only getting better and better.
Yes, it's been on a real hot streak lately.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to the human race making news.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, Tyson, anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Shaka bros.
Shaka bros. And did you like when that guy, Alec, got voted out and he told Jeff Probst to snuff it, brother? Did you like that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I liked Alec. Alec or Alex?
It was Alec.
I liked Alec.
Yeah,
I liked his attitude towards the game.
Snuff it, brother.
Yeah, I did like that.
Yeah.
Okay. He seems to not take him or itself too seriously and lived true to that mantra. A lot of times people will be like, oh, it's just a game. And then when they get voted out, they're like, ugh. Their whole attitude changes.
Mm-hmm. No, everybody's been a good sport this season.
Yes.
Okay.
Which we always appreciate.
We always appreciate it. Tyson, take care, buddy.
You too. Shaka, brother.
Shaka. We did it.
We did it, guys.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Tyson Apostle back here on Rob Has a Podcast. Always so much fun to catch up with Tyson. And really, I go months without talking to Tyson about Survivor, even though I talk to him every week on the News AF podcast. So good to get his take on, you know, we have so much fun talking about like crazy stuff on News AF. You know, Tyson then knows what he's talking about with Survivor, too. So always a fun one with Tyson Apostle. All right. Speaking of a fun one, we're going to get ready next for Bryce Isaiah this week on the podcast. So looking forward to catching up with Bryce on Friday afternoon. Hopefully we'll have that one for you guys by Friday night. And we're also going to get some bonus coverage coming up this weekend, as we have a very rare double date podcast where Nicole and I are going to check in with Dominic and Kristen Abate later on, maybe on Monday, have that podcast for you guys. Still got the wiggle room to come. So huge, huge week here on the podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying it all. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together. And a big thanks as well to our patrons of Rob is a Podcast who have made this podcast possible. It was 5 years ago today was the last time that I was working at a full-time job when I got laid off and did not know what I was going to do with my life. And that is when the patrons of Rob is a Podcast, the couple of weeks later, I started up my Patreon and they ended up changing my life forever. I have been talking about nonsense ever since as my full-time job, and I appreciate it so much. So thank you again to the patrons of Rob's Podcast. You make all of this possible. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a Rob's Podcast patron and the Rob's Podcast patron community, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial is going to last. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate, true cash offer from your local certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, and there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. Can I take a pee break?
Yeah. Are you going to play the song?
I can play it if you want, but I'm going to cut this part out of the podcast.
Okay. I'm going to run and grab something to drink real quick then.
Okay, you don't want the song for old time's sake? Here.
No, but I would.
My mind is telling me no, but my bladder
I love this song.
Is telling me yes. I don't see nothing wrong with a little pee break. Spicing brought the show to a halt.